constancy, follow the Master. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent. His first avowed intent to be a pilgrim.
So I worship and adore you, lay my whole life down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Praise God. Well, I said on Sunday that I thought there might be a follow-up from what I was sharing with you, and if you remember, our title was Being Restored to Our First Love, Being Restored to Our First Love, and we're taking this, of course, from Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, of which we will just read through again, just to remind ourselves. But again, we very clearly can see that being restored to our first love, as I said, is another reason for the deeper life, and how that we are to be restored back to our first love. Because if the church is to be an apostolic faith in the last days, then it certainly has to be with that, restored back to its first love. And this, of course, is why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so essential and is responsible for this. And so it is up to us, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that we experience the purpose of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, to take us deeper and deeper with the Lord through that open door. That side of it is our responsibility. All power is given through the Holy Spirit, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. On our side of it, we appropriate it, we believe, we confess it, we move forward with that which God has given to us. It's not just an empowerment that has come to just literally take you over and start pushing you forward. The Holy Spirit never works that way. Demons do, but the Spirit of God doesn't. He very gently moves us forward. That's why He's seen like a dove. But also, as we appropriate, as we move forward, and as we yield our wills according to His will, so we will find that the all-sufficiency and power is there in the baptism of the Holy Spirit to enable us to be able to overcome, to be able to allow the Holy Spirit to perfect us and to help us to walk by faith and not by sight. That needs to be reminded to us, because sometimes we can just sit back and just wait on God to do it all, and He doesn't do that. The principle in many ways is like Peter, who got out from the boat when Jesus said to him, "Come," and he began to walk on the water. So we have to also make that move spiritually as well. So let's bear this in mind as we continue to conclude in this. So, being restored to our first love, I'm just again going to read this from Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus, just to remind us as we come back into this, of which it says, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars." So there we spoke last week how this church at Ephesus had a great discernment, was testing the spirits, was sound on the word of God, and it was the word of God that was dividing those that are believers and those that are not. And it goes on in verse 3, and you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not come weary. So it's learnt what it is to endure, to overcome through trials and tribulations, as we have been told constantly that we have to overcome, we have to endure and go through trials of which to make it into the kingdom of heaven. He then goes on in verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works." So there's been great emphasis, certainly over the last 10 to 12 years, about repentance, about humbling ourselves, bowing our knees in his presence, waiting on God as he works that deliverance. So this is what he's calling the church to do here, to fall on her face, to repent, to wait, to allow God to change us, to restore us, bring us back to our first love. "Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." So he will remove that light. That's what he means. And he goes on, because Jesus said that by the fruit you will know them. That fruit is light unto the world. I think we forget that sometimes. We tend to think just what we say in evangelism and our works as a light. No, the light is the fruit that we are to manifest in everyday life. And he goes on, "But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." So there we are. It's all on recording. If you want to hear again Sunday's message, it's on our website. But this is the second part of it, which we're calling Being Restored to Our First Love. And I believe this is essential to our faith. And I'm going to speak much this evening about faith. And I think you'll see why I'm emphasizing this in connection with what God is saying about this church at Ephesus, which is a spiritual type, a type today. These seven churches are spiritual types that can be seen and that they speak to us and are warnings to us. But we see that the church at Ephesus is indeed a type of overcoming church, a church being restored back to apostolic power. But I think this is essential to our faith and our believing. And we have a reason for this, because Jesus revealed something that we know very well. Briefly, I'm just reading this in Luke 18 and verse 8. Luke 18 and verse 8. And he says here about his coming, which it soon will be. And he says, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Will he find that faith that pleases him? That is the question which he raises. We can't fully answer that, but we can read the signs of the times, and we know that there is the great falling away from the faith now, of which Scripture speaks about in the last days. And yet Jesus says, when he comes, will he find faith? Well, he will find a remnant. He will find the overcomers. He will find those that are purged through great tribulation, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be a remnant. Otherwise, he won't find anything. We also need to bear in mind what Timothy says about this in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, which we know very well, and verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. The reason that Satan attacks the Word of God, dilutes the Word of God, tries to compromise on the Word of God, is because you then can't release faith to believe. In actual fact, God cannot even bless that word that people listen to that doesn't line up to the Word of God. He can't bless it. Therefore, there is no blessing, there is no anointing on it. Therefore, how can you release faith on that which is a lie or deception or watered down? You can't. Therefore, there cannot be that faith to believe, because we're told faith comes by hearing, reading the Word of God. But if the Word of God is perverted and twisted, then you have very little, if anything, to believe upon. And that sadly is why there is so much unbelief amongst Christendom. They don't really hold or believe to the promises of God. But that is part of our restoration, brothers and sisters, of being restored back, not only by hearing the pure word of God, but believing upon those promises and acting upon them. And we're going to see how this is so essential by being restored back to our first love, as we have read in the Church of Ephesus. You see, the world and the conditions that we live in war against our faith. And this is why the enemy is so active. This is why we're seeing the great falling away. This is why we're seeing such a fall in morals, a fall in standards, in everything. Everything is affected. And what do we find with this falling away? He uses this to try and war against our faith to believe in the promises of God. But you see, we know that not only these weapons that Satan tries to turn upon us will not prevail, but we also know that we serve a miracle-working God that so often uses all the negative in which to work and bring about a miracle. So we are without excuse. Even though the enemy may be fighting hard, even though he may be attacking your faith, your belief in the Word of God, yet God will use that in which to bring about a deliverance. And our deliverance is fundamentally settling it on the Word of God, believing it. That dropping that 18 inches from our heads to our hearts. That's what we really mean by deliverance, is settling on God's Word. You see, the Bible also tells us that the love of many is waxing cold. And that wars against faith. It wars against faith and God's love. Why does it? Because we know that faith worketh by love. And you cannot separate faith from love and love from faith. And so with that in mind, we start to get a deeper understanding of why it is important that we come back to our first love. Our first love is not only loving the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind and being, but it's also loving his word that gives us faith to believe. This is why you cannot separate any of this. You see, when love goes, which was happening at the church at Ephesus, what God was warning against here would happen, that fear, anxiety, unbelief would start to take over. That's why he was challenging this church to come back to their first love. Because in his foresight and wisdom, he knew that anxiety, fear would start to get in. Because love, the love of God, keeps everything pure. And it keeps the word of God pure. And that purity gives us faith that can see into our hearts. If there is not love, then faith is not a pure faith. It is corrupted, it's defiled. This is why God makes such emphasis on love, on unity and oneness in the body. This is why I challenged again on Sunday about our unity, our oneness, that is absolutely essential in this assembly if we are to have a faith that is going to work and glorify God, and if we're going to see the greater works in these last days. Because the enemy is out to try and destroy the body of Christ, and that is why there's such unbelief. Because if you give in to it, you adhere to it, then you cannot really embrace faith. You can't really hear the word of God. There's hindrances there. Again, I go back, I appeal to the parable of the sower. And these were the warnings that God was giving to this church at Ephesus. In other words, you're going to lose your faith in believing for all of this that you have. Your faith, apostolic faith, fivefold ministry, your discernment, your testing and everything. It'll all go. That was the warning. And it's the warning today. It's a warning over us. And that's why God has given the deeper life to us. This is why it is essential that you go on being filled, empowered by the Holy Spirit. As we say so often, it's not just a one-off experience. We may find ourselves having further infillings and baptismal experiences. It's essential to continue to be empowered, and that comes by commitment, it comes by discipleship, it comes by prayer life, it comes by walking 24/7 with God in unbroken fellowship. That's how it comes. But I think some still in the assembly have not yet come to that place. You're allowing the things of the world still to take over and to hinder and cause that anxiety and fear and frustration. Your trials that you are going through are tailor-made at this present time, and it is for a purpose: to humble you, to deal with pride, to cause you to bow the knee and to let go so that God can start to take over. That's how he works every time. We know this as we appeal to 1 John chapter 4 verse 18. We know this very, very well, but we need to hear it in the context of what we're talking about. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. And that's what Satan wants. He wants to torment. He wants to get in, to hinder. To hinder what? Your faith in believing and experiencing the love of God. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. There we are. We love him because he first loved us. And there you are, comes right back to salvation. That's what influences it. That's what makes us love, because God first loved me. And what was in me to love? Nothing. And if you truly have been touched by that, and you are grateful for that, then you will bow the knee to allow God to work his love in your heart and your witness and everything. And that is what he's doing. as he was restoring, bringing us back to our first love. And you see, if we're not really experiencing this restoration and this restoring back to our first love, then you're not really going to deal with unbelief. And it's going to start to hinder your love. Because we're told, aren't we, in Hebrews 11:6, that without faith it is impossible to please God. I think some of us still are not taking our areas of unbelief seriously before God. Because if you're not, you can't be made perfect in love. Because it is love that removes the hindrances to our faith as we partake of the Word of God. And the only way that that will ever be achieved in our lives is to admit it, is to bow the knee, and is to get before God in the areas of unbelief until He has touched you. That is what I mean by taking it seriously. We're still too often just saying, oh well, I'm not in that place of faith yet, but God knows and everything. Yes, He does know, and He wants you to know. And I think that is still the way we deal with unbelief in our life. We're not seeing it as sin, as God sees it. Oh, it's easy to look at other things that look sinful or whatever it is. And yes, we can even be offended by it and shocked by it, by some of the things that we hear. And yet we're not with our unbelief. It doesn't hurt us and grieve us when we're not believing what it does to the Lord Jesus Christ who's made that promise. Have we ever wondered how He feels? You see, the point is, brothers and sisters, where we're in areas of not believing, God isn't going to lay it to rest. You can keep it under the carpet, but He's going to bring it out and keep bringing it out till you have to make a decision. This is what He does with the areas of unbelief. Why am I stressing this? Because it's about being restored back to our first love. And faith must work by love. And love must have faith. So, what are some of the big questions then that we're seeing rising up with regard to this? Well, the first one is, how are you dealing with unbelief? That is the question. How are you dealing with it with regard to whatever you are being tested in? Whether it's a physical testing, financial, emotional, whatever. We know that our trials and testings come in various different ways. The point is, how are we dealing when we know that there is unbelief? When we know that I'm still relying on the arm of the flesh instead of relying on God, how are we dealing with that? Is it a source of prayer? Is it there in your mind and heart? Is it that you want to talk it out with God? To find out maybe what is happening or why it is I'm not believing, what could be the hindrance? Are we making a source of urgency? Because that's what we should be doing with areas of unbelief. We should not be able to settle until we believe and trust God 100%. And maybe the only way that's going to happen is that you ask God, Lord, do not let me settle. Don't let me be content until I am totally trusting you in every area. Whatever you have to do, do it. That's a saint who means business with God. You see, I believe Ephesus was allowing unbelief to enter because Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. That's why. So, God wants to be the author and finisher of our faith. Now, the question is, do you want him to do that or not? Because only he can do that. Another area, are you still believing all the promises in God's word? Or are you just looking over them? Are you still confessing where you are believing, where you're waiting for manifestation? Do you still find that those promises are still there and you're confessing them? Or have you become a little lackadaisical on them? You're not so interested. Doesn't seem to be working. God isn't going to let us have that luxury. He's going to keep us on the ball. He's going to keep us with those promises until all area of unbelief is removed. That is if you want to be an overcomer and you want to experience this being restored to one's first love. Because that's what's involved with this. You see, have you now compromised in areas of your faith where it's not such a problem now going to the arm of the flesh? Why, I see other brothers and sisters doing it, so, you know, I can do it as well. We should be grieved when we go to the arm of the flesh. There should be something within us, Lord, this isn't your perfect will for me. This is permissive. Lord, whatever it takes, please work with me that I can, this can be removed, that I can be in that place of faith and settling it. It's so easy to allow compromise to start just to take over. It's very, very subtle how it works. See, Satan doesn't come blatantly, he works very, very subtly. And so we find ourselves, well, I'm not just the only one. I see others in the body, they're going to the arm of the flesh. The point is, you've taken your eyes off Jesus and you are looking to others. And you need to get your eyes off your brothers and sisters and back on the Word of God, where God gets your attention. Don't worry about your brother and sister. And yes, if they are going to the arm of the flesh, then you know what to do, to get in prayer, intercession. This is why it's needful that we pray one for another. Because if we see these areas, that should be a time of prayer where we get in and pray and intercede to help my brother, my sister, to be able to believe and to receive those promises and to be blessed by them so that they can have this testimony and others can see that by his stripes we were healed at Calvary. That's what it's all about. But be careful, because it's so easy when you start looking to others, you will always find yourself excusing yourself. And there's no place for excuse. The only place there is for absolute, complete honesty before the Lord. Another area, does the arm of the flesh look a lot easier and less stressful? If that's how you look at it, well, there's not so much stress. It is easier. Then you are not being restored to your first love. You are failing to see what the deeper life is about, why you have been called for this, what you are destined for, to be those wise virgins, those five wise virgins. where we have unbelief, God has promised to deliver us from it. Because if he doesn't do that, then none of us have a chance. But the point is, we have to do it his way. And it's about commitment. It's about putting priorities first. We've got wrong priorities that we're allowing in to hinder, to cause us to compromise. But we have to come back to our first love. Because as we return to our first love, that's an empowerment. That is God taking over. That is God putting that within our hearts. It's the way of the cross. It's discipleship, as I spoke about on Sunday. You know, as I was preparing this, I felt the Lord speak to me. And I believe he said this, that the Lord asks, when are you going to be in faith and believe? When are you going to be in faith and believe? That's what he's asking of each of us. Because if he was right here now, that's what he would say. We know this because he said it to the disciples many times. When will you believe? And believing is letting go. And all the while there is fear, anxiety, you cannot let go and you cannot be made perfect in love. Because love lets go. Love believes. Love does not question the promises of God. Love keeps its eyes fixed on Jesus. Love does not look at our brother or sister who might be compromising, so that's an excuse for me. Love doesn't do that. Love fulfills every jot and tittle of God's word in our life and in the church. That is what he's restoring us to, brothers and sisters. As I said, I believe there's been a lot more in this that we didn't realize looking at this church. It's amazing how when God opens up and we peel back the layers, how we find that there's so much more to be found and why God says what he says. Now, the question is, as I bring this to a close this evening, can God bring his church, whom he loves, can he restore her back to her first love? That is a question that only you can ask, that you can ask upon yourself. Because the church is you and I. Do we have the faith for that? Do we believe for that? Is that the focal point of our life? Why we're in this church? Why we've been set into it? Or is my faith still about me, my problems, my house, my family, my marriage, my job, my finances, or whatever? If your faith still embraces that, you have not yet seen what this is all about. Because our faith is ultimately to be restored back to our first love. That is part of restoration which we're in. But if we're still worrying about the everyday things of the world, we have not yet got there. We are not yet still made perfect in love. And there is still that work to be done. And only each one of us can answer that. So, being restored to our first love. I'm actually excited about this. And I thank God for the way he speaks to us and shows us and gives us hope. Because as we know, it's not by might, it's not by power, it can only be by the power of the Holy Spirit. But let us believe upon that which we say. Don't let them just become scriptures that we recite, but that we actually know them experientially. And this is why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is essential for this. It is going on, that being filled, that being empowered, whatever he has provided in that experience by going through the open door, it is for us each day to walk in and through. That is what I believe he wants us to see. Well, not only wants us to see this, but he wants us to experience this. But brothers and sisters, we each of us must be restored back to a total walk of faith and love in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that is the church he's coming back for. Father, we again thank you this evening. We thank you, Lord, that we need to hear these things. Forgive us, Lord, because we have all compromised. We have all taken our eyes off you and looked at others. We've all tried to excuse ourselves why I'm not in faith or whatever it would be. Father, have mercy over us. Help us to come to that standard that you require of us. Help us to take our eyes off our circumstances, off self, and what we're going through. Help us to see the greatness, the bigness of this walk. What restoration is about, what we are being destined for, what awaits us in the future. This is far bigger, Lord, than our personal needs or my trial that I'm going through. Help us above all, Father, to come back to our first love, that love that can never separate, where we know that in whatever we go through, we know that in trial, in every situation, we know from experience that nothing can separate me from the love of God in this, because God first loved me. Lord, I thank you tonight. I thank you for our fellowship. I thank you for bringing us online. Thank you. You're faithful always over us. I pray you bless, preserve, and keep each one of us. Help us, Lord, to walk as overcomers, to walk by faith, to overcome in all those areas. Continue to work that deliverance in each of us, we ask, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.
Let him in constancy follow the Master. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent. His first avowed intent to be a
in the love of Jesus.